WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Democratic candidates for statewide office made their final pitches to primary voters Monday. The primary is today. If you have trouble voting, there's a hotline to help. And marijuana possession will become legal on July 1st in Virginia, but researchers are already suggesting tweaks to the law. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, June 8th. Five Democrats running for governor of Virginia made their final pitch to voters ahead of today's primary. Former Governor Terry McAuliffe is the clear frontrunner. Ben Pavier with VPM reports.
McAuliffe is far ahead in fundraising and leads in recent polls. But other candidates, like former delegate Jennifer Carroll Foy, argue they'll do more to excite the base against the Republican nominee, Glenn Youngkin.
We don't do well with two out-of-touch, wealthy, millionaire politicians at the top of the ticket who don't understand the challenges that Virginians face.
Carroll Foy is running to be the first black woman elected governor in the U.S. So is State Senator Jennifer McClellan. Addressing supporters in Richmond's Jackson Ward, McClellan emphasized her 16 years of legislative experience and the generations before her who she says made it possible.
I'm tired of fighting the same fights that my parents, my grandparents, and my great-grandparents fought. And I will not leave those fights to my kids or yours.
McAuliffe has stressed his experience as former governor, taking on Republicans on issues like abortion and guns. He's projecting confidence in the primary, saving most of his attacks for Youngkin. Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax and Delegate Lee Carter are also in the race.
Ben Pavier reporting. While the Democratic race for governor has attracted the most attention, voters are also choosing Democratic nominees for other statewide offices in today's primary election. Attorney General Mark Herring is seeking a third term but faces a strong challenge from Norfolk Delegate Jay Jones. Six candidates are seeking the Democratic nomination for Lieutenant Governor. Republicans chose their statewide candidates in a nominating convention last month. Polls are open today until 7 p.m. And in case you have trouble casting a ballot in today's primary, help is just a phone call away. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Lots of things can go wrong when you show up to vote. The polling place might not be open because there aren't enough workers to staff it. Or your name might not be on the list because your registration hasn't been updated. Or maybe it's been purged for some reason. During one primary a few years ago, polling places across Virginia had to shut down after an earthquake. Marcia Johnson Blanco at the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law says every election cycle brings a new set of problems.
In recent elections, we've had calls from voters who complain about intimidation. And what we find is that, you know, there's electioneering that happens at polling places, and sometimes it's done in such an aggressive manner that voters see that as them being intimidated.
Many times when voters are having a hard time casting a ballot, they're tempted to just walk away without voting. Alexandria Breton at the Civic Engagement Table says there's no need to do that.
Don't walk away. It is important for you to participate in your democracy, and we want to make sure that you do that. We want to make sure that you know what your voting rights are as a voter.
If you're having problems at your polling place, dial 866-OUR-VOTE for the Election Protection Hotline. Help is available in English, Spanish, Mandarin Chinese, and several other languages. I'm Michael Pope.
Virginia's Redistricting Commission met Monday to decide whether or not to hire a nonpartisan law firm. Virginia Public Radio's Jad Khalil reports.
Voters approved a hybrid approach to redistricting in the hopes that it could take partisanship out of the process. The differences between non-elected Democrats and the rest of the committee were on display Monday. The commission was voting on whether to hire lawyers with a political affiliation, one Republican leading firm and another leading Democrat. Senator Steve Newman, a Republican, said partisanship in the field was just a fact.
There are very few individuals that do this work at all, and all of them do it from one party or the other. So that unicorn out there really doesn't exist.
Greta Harris, who is a housing advocate and one of the citizens selected by Democrats, said they should at least try to find a nonpartisan firm.
I don't think it hurts anything to be able to put out both strategies for trying to get the best legal counsel that keeps us within the spirit and intent of the law.
Eventually, both of these proposals came to a vote. Most of the commission voted in favor of having two partisan firms. All the citizen members who were chosen by Democrats supported looking for a nonpartisan firm. Delegate Marcus Simon, also a Democrat, voted for that proposal too.
Finally, today, possession of small amounts of marijuana will become legal on July 1st, and other changes are on the way. Researchers have made suggestions to tweak the law. And Jed has that story.
Justin Brown of the Joint Legislative Audit and Review Commission presented the recommendations to legislators on Monday, among them adding penalties for possessing less than a pound of marijuana.
Essentially, you would keep the civil penalty in place for small amounts above the legal limit, and then have a misdemeanor charge that would start at an amount that's somewhere between the civil penalty and the felony.
Virginia's new law legalizes possessing less than an ounce of marijuana. Having larger amounts would be a $25 fine, unless you have a pound or more. Then it's a felony. Chelsea Higgs-Wise is the executive director of Marijuana Justice.
The creation of this misdemeanor will not do anything to keep society more safe. It will do more to extract resources and people from Black and brown communities.
Higgs-Wise was encouraged by other parts of the presentation. The law provides for social equity licenses, which would attempt to guide funds from legalization to people impacted by marijuana prohibition. JLARC suggested reconsidering the license's eligibility criteria.
We are also concerned that the social equity components will not truly target those that have been impacted and are excited to work more closely with the legislators on that.
The new law goes into effect on July 1st. I'm Jad Khalil.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected, and I hope you enjoy your Tuesday.